You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And as I mentioned, it is April 1st, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Yes, it is. See, you could have April fooled me by saying something else, and I would have said, what?
The show is young.
Aha. Uh-oh. You know, again, you know, there's so much heavy news out there, and so it's good to have a little bit of humor, for when we can get it. But thank you for joining us. We have Wendy Wilson joining us today for this first segment of the program. But first, we have the metal prices. Gold today, $1,591, up $13. Silver was down 9 pennies. $13.94. Platinum was down 4 at $7.24. Palladium was down 109 at $23.19. The USDX today, what's that little bugger doing? Up 0.59, 99.52. Nice to see gold break away from that dollar. Crude oil was up 36 cents at 20.84. And I was a day early on my prediction on Butch Paul's program the other day. I said the market was going to crash. It did go down yesterday, but it didn't crash. Today it did. So it was a little bit bigger of a crash, down 973 points, way off the lows of the day, though. At one point it was down 1,100 points, but, you know, in the last hour of trade, that's when all the government money gets funneled into these markets, you know, just to make you feel better. The Dow was down 973 points at 20,943. The NASDAQ was down 439 points. 7,360. The S&P was down 114 at 2,470. 10-year yield, 0.64% down 0.06. Japan was down 4.5%. Hong Kong down. London, Germany, they were all down almost 4% overnight. And you keep hearing on the mainstream media, most places anyway, buy on the dip. Buy on the dip. And it's just like, don't be a dip, buy on the dip. Well, if you buy on the dip, you are a dip. That's the way I see it. Anyway, 800-375-4188. If you don't want to be a dip, get yourself some gold and silver. Turn those fiat dollars into real money, because that's what's going to count in the near future. Or right now. We don't even have to look to the near future. I'm talking about right now. Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melanie, and hello, Dave.
Dave's never there. We don't know where he goes in the meantime.
Hi there.
He's never there, you know, so don't even say hi to him anymore.
Okay. All right. Just ignore the hump day, man. Okay.
Just ignore
him. All right. I get calls all the time about this virus that we're in lockdown with, but I thought we'd talk about some of the new research. Well, it's not really new. It's a year old, but it may help listeners out there with defeating the coronavirus with a mineral called zinc. Now, if you recall, in January 2013, I did a show, wrote an article on your system sinks without zinc. And then in 2019, on your show, Melody, right here on Financial Survival, you actually asked me what I thought was the main cause for a lot of illness, and I said it's a lack of minerals. Remember that?
I do.
So here we are, spring 2020, under essentially house quarantine because of the COVID-19 coronavirus, and medical science says zinc may be the key to defeating this virus. So let's check it out. Now, in November 2019, there was this article that appeared in the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institutes of Health. It was a report that stated zinc inhibits coronavirus and its RNA polymerase activity. They went on to say the zinc blocks the virus from replicating and corrupting the human cells. So a virus is not a live entity. It's It's got to invade your cell and use the life force of your cell to replicate and then burst the cell open and then spread to other cells. And this is, well, this is how a virus makes you sick, and this is when you start to feel bad. Now, in addition, the study did state that zinc can also block the replication of many RNA viruses, such as polio, and influenza viruses, such as SARS, coronavirus, and horse viruses. So you're probably wondering, well, how does zinc do that? I was wondering, and the report said zinc seems to interfere with the virus protein and how the virus processes its replication. So the zinc interferes with the core enzyme protein, and the virus can't transport itself across your blood plasma or across your cell membranes. So it has to be able to kind of, the protein is there to act like a porting device to your cell, and the zinc seems to block that. So the zinc seems to totally destroy this recombinant RNA virus. Therefore, zinc interferes with the virus's ability to bind to your cells to replicate. It destroys the virus's ability to replicate through transcription. So I think that's real important. And guess where the largest zinc mine in the world is? Take a guess.
Oh, do I have to?
Well, just guess. Is it in the United States? Pick a state. Any state.
I can't. Arizona.
Oh, or you're close. Red Dog Mine is located in Alaska. And It's a very important mine because, you know, zinc also, they use zinc in water filters to improve water quality. They use zinc in your cosmetics. They coat steel to prevent corrosion. And also, it's an alloy in making brass. And also, without zinc, your cell phone won't work because it's in the batteries. So zinc's real important all over the place. So here are some whole foods and herbs that will contain some zinc. We have access to zinc through whole foods. Kelp, alfalfa, apples, beets, oranges, almonds all have rich amounts of zinc. And zinc is necessary if you want a healthy sense of taste, you know, in your mouth. Herbs with high zinc would be your capsicum, your hot cayennes, echinacea root, obviously your immune boosting herbs, obviously, astragalus root, your Siberian ginseng, adult seaweed, wild jam, skullcap, spirulina, and chickweed, which we often use for rashy itches. Or itchy rashes, I should say. Now, research has listed zinc insufficiency as the cause of disease, such as cancer, wounds that won't heal, lack of fertility, and skin and nail ailments. So,
well,
zinc, it's probably
you see
important.
Those, I don't mean to interrupt, mm-hmm. I think it's zinc. Don't you see those wraps?
Yeah.
You know, those braces that are, I don't know, is it copper or zinc?
Yeah, it's copper. Okay. Well, and copper and zinc kind of go together. Let's look at some signs of deficiency. If you had a zinc deficiency in the system, I'm talking severe, there are lots of signs that go along with, you know, your wounds not healing. You get lots of cuts and infections don't heal. Those are kind of the initial signs. But you may have also a loss of appetite and nothing appeals to you. Your sense of smell mechanism is going to be off. So zinc deficiency, it does affect your human senses. And if the mineral is not replenished, the next stage is a loss of energy and you feel pretty lethargic. Also, mental health issues can manifest. So also your arteries of the body can harden without zinc, and you can get lots of skin rashes that appear, and hair loss can materialize as well. Now, if children suffer from a zinc depletion, it may stunt their growth and delay the onset of puberty for them. And pregnant women who are low in zinc, it can damage the fetus because zinc is used in cell division and growth in the development of the baby. Now, certain medical conditions can also put people at a greater risk of zinc depletion if it gets low. Also, patients with sickle cell anemia have to guard against it. So your red blood cells are supposed to be rich with zinc, and without it, your cells break apart. So when that happens, what little zinc you have left will exit the body through the urine. And it's really hard to overdose on zinc through whole food things. So if you're overdosing on zinc, it's usually through isolated nutrients, which is not recommended. But otherwise, it's hard to overdose on zinc. So if you took too much zinc, it would produce a copper deficiency in the body. So you need copper to protect your bones, your hemoglobin, red blood cells, and your skin. So copper and zinc are kind of counter-regulatory, if you will. Now, here's a quote from Joseph McCullough. If you're thinking about running out to your store to get zinc supplements, listen to this. He says, not only are isolated nutrients treated like drugs by your body as other chemicals, and like drugs, they can create problems for you too. He says, nature does not produce any nutrient in an isolated form. The nutrients in foods are blended together in a specific way to work best in that format. For an isolated nutrient to work properly in the body, it needs all the other parts that are naturally present in that food source too. He goes on to say, it is not necessarily the amount of the nutrient that you ingest that's important, but it's the form and how bioavailable and it counts that counts the most. So he says, ingesting single isolated nutrients can create imbalances. And the logic would indicate the higher level of a single nutrient, you know, people take mega doses of that stuff. He says, if you take that, the quicker the imbalance is going to occur. So that's why I always say whole food nutrients. So you look for the foods with zinc in them. And here's the reason we're so low on zinc. It's the land isn't healthy. Okay, so you and I aren't really going to be healthy as we would like if the soil in which the crops are grown aren't real healthy. So we've known for a while we have soil depletion. In 1992, the Earth Summit statistics were released, and just wasn't the United States that had soil problems. Farming all over the globe is not looking too good. According to the Earth Summit report, the world's farming in regards to soil integrity dramatically decreased. So this has been a severe decline in mineral values in every sector of farm soil in North America, Canada, and Mexico. Other countries that also have this mineral depletion problem, but not as bad as the United States. So the stats were like this. The depletion in North America was 85%. In South America, 76%. Asia, 76%. Africa, 74%. Europe, 72%. Australia, 55%. So over the last 50 years, we've lost about 50% of our quality topsoil, which is required for good food production. And we've lost the topsoil because of overuse of inorganic fertilizers, overuse of farming, and erosion. So they're not letting the land rest, and they're not rotating the crops. So how can we say that we have no crop failure when, in fact, we do? And an example is 1951, Melody. 1951, if a woman like yourself wanted to get the recommended daily allowance of vitamin A, you would just have to eat two peaches in 1951. Today, if you want to get your vitamin A, recommended daily allowance, you're going to have to eat 53 peaches.
What?
Yep. So if soil becomes zinc deficient, we have crop failure. We have health failure. Currently, it's estimated in the United States and in many other countries, there's a 30% loss of zinc in these following domesticated crops: rice, wheat, and corn. That's big. That's big. And here we got to go back to these victim reports on this COVID-19 coronavirus. The news is reporting that a lot of the victims on the COVID-19 have several things in common. Okay. They have chronic zinc deficiency, they're reporting, high blood pressure, and they're taking prescription meds. That's the majority of your victims of this virus. So with millions of people depleted in nutrients and dependent on drug therapy, which further depletes them of minerals like zinc, it's no wonder the influenza virus is really taking advantage of these people. So the question is this pathogen extremely lethal, or is it that we have completely been oblivious to the fact that we have made our bodies vulnerable to it?
I would always have to say it's probably some of each.
Yep. Well, here's the drugs that will deplete your zinc in a skinny minute. Over-the-counter medications as well. Drug companies are not required to do nutrient depletion studies on products. So here's a brief list. If you're taking prescription diuretics, they cause your body to void out more minerals, including your zinc. If you're taking antacids, anti-inflammatory drugs like prednisone, hydrocortisone, or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, anticonvulsants, antiviral drugs, birth control drugs, cardiovascular drugs, and ulcer drugs. Now, that's one of the common three things that the victims of the virus were on was high blood pressure meds. Okay, so so it's kind of easy to get a lot of your minerals, and there's lots of foods that help keep us healthy and young, and we got to avoid a lot of health hazards as we go through this life. But you want to get a lot of beta carotene from your carrots. A lot of your chili peppers have that. Rich sources of vitamin A. Now your chlorella algae has like 50,000 units of vitamin A per 100 grams, and plus it has the chlorophyll with it. Yeah. It has vitamin B12, has a lot of nucleic acids, and that's important because those acids store and transmit genetic information, helps you synthesize the new proteins that you're getting. So this kind of nutrition in whole foods, it keeps you young and strong. And if we're eating a lot of conventionally grown products with very little nutrients in them, or processed foods, like a lot of the younger people tend to do, then yeah, that would explain why they're becoming victims of the virus. They don't have a whole lot of immune system support. Zinc's one of those immune system herbs. So is calcium. So, and you got to get calcium from plants, not animals, because it's not the right kind if you're getting it from animals. So,
I remember you told us that just a couple of weeks ago.
I know. So your body likes two parts calcium, one part boron, and one part magnesium. That's that chemistry that Dr. Mercola was talking about. And it has a specific chemistry. So the uptake, so the body can absorb the calcium and put it in bones, all your connective tissues, muscles, and even your immune system uses calcium. So we've just gotten away from common sense. We've gotten away from whole organic foods, and this has really been our downfall. We have very weak immune systems now, generations of people on antibiotics and vaccines, which really subject the immune system to weakness. You transfer that in your DNA. So we've got weaker and weaker immune systems as we go along, and this is why we have very little resistance to even an influenza like this. I know.
What do you have for us?
Well, your immune system herbs like echinacea and astragalus root, I use those. They have high rich values of zinc in them, plus other things to help your immune system. So I have no fear of this virus at all. I just use my herbs. That's what I do.
Well, good.
Yeah. Well, they can contact us if they'd like information, 866-229-3663, or visit us online at thepowerherbs.com. And our 20th anniversary catalog is about to roll off the press.
Wow, 20 years.
I know.
You're catching up to me, Wendy.
Oh, no.
Congratulations. You worked hard.
Yeah, we all have. We all have. But, you know, there's hope out there. Don't be so desperate or really upset about this virus. God's got herbs for you. He does.
You know, that's true. You know, but everybody knows. Anyway, we're out of time. So
yeah.
Give us your number real quick.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye. We'll be back in just a few short minutes.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you gonna let them hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know? Things are changing. Things are going your way. If you hold on,
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And, you know, the things just can't get any more crazier, any more wackier, any more, you know, it's... and again, I know there's a lot of folks out there who are confident in their own personal health, but we still have to think of others. You know, so don't be too confident in your own health that you don't take precautions to protect other people. Other people might not be as blessed. And so, you know, you got to, you know, think about that, because there's a lot of things that we don't know and there's a lot of things we do know. But so just be careful and be safe and you know, think of others. Something that we don't do enough of is thinking about others. And, you know, Dave, I was just reading some of these headlines. I mean, we're not going to give you the updates on the numbers and so forth. I had no idea that Carnival, the cruise line, still had 6,000 passengers on ships at sea. Well, that's only two boats, really, if they're carrying 3,000. You know, maybe they have three boats. But that's just Carnival, so what are the other cruise lines doing? And they're basically, the Coast Guard has directed these cruise ships that have affected to just stay offshore indefinitely. And I heard there was one cruise line, I don't know what the number is, but the one ship had like 10 dead and, you know, 100 or so that were infected. So I don't know if they put the bodies out to sea or I don't know what they do. And I don't mean to make light of it. I mean, it's, to me, it's just shocking. Just to see, that's a long time on a boat. And the thing, they have to go through all the bad weather, all the storms out to sea, and you have to stay in these little stinky rooms. Can't even imagine if you were on the inside where you don't even have a window. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. And so to think that we're, you know, told to stay in our homes doesn't seem so bad when you're comparing something like that. And I don't know if there's any other kind of interesting storylines that you can attach to this situation that we're experiencing. And we'll find a lot out afterwards. And, you know, I mean, you just keep reading and reading. And again, be careful of others. You know, be thoughtful. There's a lot of elderly people out there that we should be thinking of. And, you know, be safe. You know, last week they told us that there were going to be 3 million people unemployed in the Thursday unemployment numbers. Dave, I have a question. Well, Moody's and ADP came out with their non-farm payroll numbers, but they was only up through March 12th. Is that normal?
Is what normal? The timing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the timing, but the period, the period that it covers.
I believe so. I believe there's normally two weeks into the new month. We'll have to double check that, but yeah, I don't think this is too out of the ordinary. Other than it's, you know, that it's the last one that will show quote normal payrolls.
Well, I just thought
for a while.
I just thought it went further into the month than the 12th.
Well, this one doesn't.
So I didn't know if the other ones did or not. I just thought they did, but like, you know, so it isn't month to month then. It's middle of the month to the middle of the month. So,
no, I mean, at least this month it is.
And that's my point. Why wouldn't they do for the whole month? Because they don't want to show the millions of people that have lost their jobs. You know, I don't know how they can sugarcoat it anyway, but they're saying there's only, you know, up through March 12th, the reduced payrolls were 27,000. And, of course, that was before, you know, all the millions of jobs that have lost. And, you know, it's the first time the private payroll count contracted in 10 years, said Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's. He says total job losses probably will total 10 million to 15 million. 10 to 15 million. I can't believe that. I mean, that's so shocking, Dave. Just 6% of companies indicated they're hiring, a level worse than during the financial crisis, of course. And of course, everyone is expecting this just to last, what, maybe a month, 2 months? And they think everything's going to come back in the summer and everybody's going to have a happy summer. I don't think so. If you have 10 to 15 million people that are laid off, how many of the businesses have gone under because of that? Economists have forecasted a loss of 125,000. And Moody only comes out with, well, 27. The March number, the February gain of 179,000, that was revised. The initial report was 183. So again, we were heading into, you know, we were heading into a month that, you know, was revised downward. So again, things just weren't as rosy as everyone were saying before we even got to the point of having 10 to 15 million people laid off. Dave?
Well, the only employment numbers that are measuring the coronavirus impact in somewhat real time are the weekly initial jobless claim counts. And that's the one that last Thursday showed first-time claims for last week was 3.3 million. And that's expected to show another 3.1 million when the new number comes out tomorrow. The ADP count does show, however, that companies already were beginning to cut in a labor market that otherwise had been doing well earlier. Small businesses accounted for all of the reductions last week, slicing 90,000 from payrolls, 66,000 of those coming from companies with 25 employees or less. Medium-sized businesses, that is, you know, those between 50 and 499 employees, added 7,000, while big companies hired 56. So the net of those three numbers was the reduction of 27,000. Now, in broad terms, service-related industries saw losses of 18,000. Goods producers down 9,000. Estimates for how bad the coronavirus-related job losses will be are varying widely these days. Just the other day, the St. Louis Fed forecast as many as 47 million layoffs and a top unemployment rate of 32%, though most other forecasts, private forecasts, have been less dire. We shall see in fairly short order.
Well, you know, it's just really, truly a staggering. If anybody thinks that, you know, we're going to come around and head into a strong economy after this, and that just goes to show those of you who are holding paper investments, why? That's my biggest question is why? Why would you? Just these numbers are beyond staggering. And, you know, I mean, this really isn't a big eye-opener to any degree. You know, there's reports out there about how this, how we're going to be seeing more of the income inequality. I mean, it really isn't any, you know, they did some sort of an index, and it's just going to get worse. And, of course, those that are a little more well-off and so forth, yeah, they're not going to lose much. You know, they'll be able to, you know, work from home and so forth. And it's usually those with the lower incomes and so forth, lower educations, they're going to have, you know, they're putting themselves at, you know, greater daily risk of infection. So, you know, it's not that big of a stretch to see that happens. The sad thing is it's an area, that we fail to recognize. We don't perhaps appreciate some of those that do that work. You know, if you look online, you see people, you know, sitting in their beautiful homes, the bookcases and tons of books, and it fascinates me because there was a couple people who had their bookcases behind them, and they had them categorized by color. And I just found that it's like, I don't know if that was what statement, I don't know if they were just OCD or whatever. I mean, my books are, you know, I don't know, Dave, I just thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, back to these folks. So we fail to recognize and we fail to appreciate those who do the work, who do put their lives in a little bit more risk than those who, you know, are able to do TV programs from the comfort of their beautiful homes and so forth. And I'm not taking it away from those people, too. They worked hard to be there. You know, they did their own sacrifice to get where they are. And that's also something that people don't realize. You know, when we talk about taking their... Most of these people worked hard. They worked long hours. And they sacrificed something along the way. And most likely sacrificed something that a lot of people don't appreciate either. So... But anyway, so what else is in there in that report, Dave?
Well, the survey results show one nation shifting toward remote work, working out of the house, and handling the emotional challenge of the crisis so far. But dig deeper, and you can see that Americans' experiences are deeply split among economic and educational lines. You have concerns about job security and ability to pay bills are tied to socioeconomic level. The more income you have, the more secure and confident you feel, and vice versa. There are also correlations across the surveys, the respondents' race, ethnicity, age, region of the country, and whether they live in urban or non-urban settings. But overall, the driving factor appears to be socioeconomic status.
Let's go ahead and move on and talk about, it's just a little bit of a change of pace. Some other headlines that are in the news today that we think you might be interested in. I know a lot of you, like myself, I don't even like to do the census, but today was the official kickoff. So the business, I guess government is somewhat still business as usual, but it's going to be a self-reporting number. So I guess, are we supposed to complete it online or something? Or how does that all work, Dave?
That's true. It's today's the reference date for individual responses. And you should include, by now you should have received a postcard. Most households were mailed postcards with, it's a summary of what to do. And for those who have access to the internet, the Census Bureau is asking us to complete it online. I did so for my family. It took 5, 6, 7 minutes at most. Just very basic questions about the names and the genders and the ethnicities of the people who live in my household. That's about it. Now, as of yesterday, about 50 million households, or about 35%, have responded. The Bureau hasn't been able to visit college campuses. It's a notorious trouble spot in the past. Many students aren't on campus these days. They've returned home or staying with friends or other relatives, causing confusion about, you know, which address do they report as, you know, their residence. Well, the Census Bureau says, like in previous years, or previous 10 years, students, college students, should use the address where they usually live during classes. So that would be your college address.
Well, you know, Britain's too big to fail banks. They've scrapped their dividends. And of course, their shares tumbled. And of course, after regulators pushed them to free up more money for loans to counter the fallout from the coronavirus and to withhold payouts for top staff, Bank of England's Prudential Regulation Authority wrote to the lenders yesterday asking them to cancel dividend payments while calling attention to their role in supporting the wider economy. The UK's five biggest banks had planned to pay out £7.5 billion. That's kind of equal to about $9.3 billion in dividends over the next 2 months. Well, they just saved themselves $9.3 billion. But, you know, it's the floodgates, the faucets, the spigots, whatever you want to call it, has been open to all central banks flooding into these economies. And they're not going to spare a dime to throw into these economies as we're going through this, Dave.
No, they are not. Now, before we head into the break, today marks the end of the agreed production limits by OPEC and its allies. Saudi Arabia has boosted output to more than 12 million barrels a day, while other major producers like Iraq also plan increases. Russia, on the other hand, they don't intend to ramp up production. It's according to a government official there. All these moves come as the oil market faces something close to a wipeout in demand, meaning the next month could be a game changer for the industry, literally. Brent futures have collapsed more than 65% over the first 3 months of the year, registering their worst ever quarter since 1990. 54% of that came in March alone. Meanwhile, WTI futures slumped more than 66% in the first quarter, recording their worst ever quarterly performance back to when trading began in 1983.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold. gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. One thing we're going to talk about with everybody all closed in, or many, maybe not all, but many are closed in. We're going to talk about, fatigue. From being, I don't like to use the word locked down, because really not locked down yet, but the fatigue that brings.
Some countries are.
Yeah, like Italy and so forth, and that's how we're going to relate to. But one thing I do like is a lot of the cartoons that are coming out of it. You have to see, that's funny. Oh, I saw two women in a kitchen, and the one woman says to the other one, "Well, where's your husband?" "Oh, he's out in the yard in the garden." The other woman says, "Well, I don't see him out there." She says, "No, you have to dig about 6 inches down before you see him." So there's some funny things coming out about this. So you do have to keep a little bit of humor. But the one thing before we get to that part, I want to say there was an article out of Bloomberg about how the Fed is taking on the role of the world central bank by pumping out the dollars. And so they're, and this is what's happening. We are the central banker to the world. And, when we talk about the globalists and we talk about the one world government, the one world bank, the one world thing, hey, this is the one world central bank. And this is, and here, the Federal Reserve, as they've done before, is providing, They're being the central banker to the world by seeking to provide this global financial system with dollar liquidity. In its latest measure to combat the economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic, the Fed said Tuesday it was establishing a temporary repurchase agreement facility to allow foreign central banks to swap any treasury security they hold for cash. It's just another step beyond the actions it took in the 2008 financial crisis. And then you have a former Fed official, Ted Truman, says, hey, to the Federal Reserve's credit? No. No. It shouldn't be. I mean, we get that this is a separate entity. The Fed is trying to prevent the liquidity squeeze amid a worldwide rush into dollars as the virus wreaks havoc on the global economy. I mean, this is bailout du jour. The New York Fed says it has over 200 account holders with a vast majority held by foreign central banks and monetary authorities. Gee, what are monetary authorities? I wonder what that includes. We can figure out the foreign central banks, but monetary authorities? Which banks are those? Which hedge funds or whatever it might be? The new facility, though, does lack something the currency swaps provide. While it allows foreign central banks to liquefy their holdings of treasuries and obtain dollars, it doesn't add to the reserves. Rather, it just changes. Isn't that just like changing digits? It should also lend to less forced selling by Treasury by those foreign central banks, and thus support the Fed's efforts to restore some semblance of order to the U.S. government debt market. I mean, doesn't this... It's just... And whoever talks about this stuff? There's no one talking about it on CNBC or anyplace else. I mean, we know these programs go on. We've talked about these programs before. But yet nobody... It's just another day. It's just, it irritates me. People should be outraged. But they have you so scared that you don't pay attention to anything else. Jeez, Luigi. Just speaking of Luigi, we'll go to Italy now before I start going off on another direction that I probably don't feel like going into today, but, you know, we talked about the fatigue, you know, those countries that are in lockdown, particularly in Italy, you know, people are beginning to, you know, you've heard the scenes of the Italians singing, and last week a man in Naples, he sparked a confrontation between customers and a staff at a grocery store. You know, he was just trying to get a little bit of pasta, tomatoes, bread, and oil, and he couldn't pay. You know, so... You know, the police were called. And then in the meantime, you have a group of 20 families that are loading the carts with food. And they're trying to leave without paying. I've seen in Hollywood or, you know, Rodeo Drive and those places in California, they're actually bordering up because they're waiting for the social unrest to begin. So this is what you have to protect yourself. This is what happens when it comes with fatigue. So, and it doesn't matter that the governments, I mean, 2 weeks ago, the Italian government unveiled a 25 billion euro stimulus package. That was supposed to help provisions to help workers face temporary layoffs. So, I don't know, Dave. It does make people wacky.
Well, this is what happens when cabin fever continues almost unabated, and we're still here in our country, and we're still in the early throes of self-quarantining, social distancing, and some state-wide stay-at-home mandates. In Italy and other places in Europe, it's been going on for a little bit longer, not much longer, but it shows that it doesn't take a whole lot when your lifestyle and quality of life is literally upended. I mean, the situation in Italy that Melody just described suggests that another emerging front in this battle against the virus is going to be the struggle to maintain public morale and social order. They're talking about possibly some very large scale, if you want to call them protests, marches, or just sort of mob rule in Italy and some other places in Eastern Europe. In the UK, police are being criticized for using drones and other tactics to enforce that country's lockdown measures. One former Supreme Court justice there, you know, described the police response as turning the country into a police state. And one senior police official said he admitted hey, we're not going to enforce our way out of this problem. As Melody said, ladies and gentlemen, make sure everyone you know is taking this virus seriously. One way you can do that is by leading by example. You do it first and foremost. And so the more we stay away from each other now, the quicker we're hopefully going to be able to return to a better life, whatever that may be.
And, you know, I think Jimmy Rogers, you know, he was, he used to be Soros's partner, and, you know, he split from them, and, you know, he rode around the world on his motorcycle and so forth. And, you know, I always liked his commentary because he was always, it was always common sense. You know, he didn't use any sensationalism or anything like that. And it was another Bloomberg article that I saw where, in a phone interview, he said he expects in the next couple of years that we're going to have the worst bear market in his lifetime. He's not a, you know, he's not a young guy. He's been around. And, you know, of course, he was always a gold, he always believed in gold. He also did paper, but he believed in gold. He believed in the insurance policy of gold. And, you know, so, you know, this is the biggest bear market. And he says the Chinese economy is opening again. People are going back to work. Factory restaurants are open again. He says, but I say again, Dave, China's economy is based on us. We're not doing a whole lot, so I just can't see how they can be, you know, doing a whole lot better in any time soon. But, you know, you have the Panama Canal Authority. They're trying to keep the global trade routes open, trying to keep goods moving, even though we have these world economies that are, you know, becoming wounded. And, you know, they're trying to minimize any health risks to their own workers. The Panama Canal Authority has sent thousands of employees home, rolled out contingency plans to keep trade flowing amid the region's worst outbreak of the new coronavirus. Now I know what they're talking about because I just went through the Panama Canal in the first part of January. We were so blessed and so lucky. We just missed all of this. We were able to come home and not have to deal with, you know, being on a boat for 6 months probably. But the prime example is the Panama Canal Authority. Oh, they said they are operating the staff at 3,600 versus the normal 9,000. Workers not dealing directly with ship transits were given 2 weeks of vacation. As a country, Panama has over 1,000 confirmed cases of the illness, and the most in Central America, and about the same number as Mexico, which has a population about 30 times as large. And you know what's interesting? I wonder if Panama doesn't have so many because you have those cruise ships going through there and people getting out and going and rumbling in and around through Panama and so forth. So you do have a lot of Chinese, though. Chinese has huge cargo areas that they built on either end of the canal. And so you do have a lot of Chinese folks there also. So, but only 7 canal employees. There weren't very many, though, that have actually tested positive, Dave.
Yeah, interesting stuff. We're going to end today's program with our weekly segment, Levity is Golden. Our topic today is, I think it's a multi-related topic, selfishness, deceptiveness, and just plain dumbness. A man who was feeling sick concealed his symptoms from the staff at Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester, New York, last week, so he'd be allowed to visit his soon-to-be delivering pregnant wife in the maternity ward there. Hospital officials say that man fessed up only when his wife began showing coronavirus symptoms after giving birth late last week, while she was still in the hospital. On Monday, the hospital started checking the temperature of all visitors to the maternity center. University of Rochester Medicine spokesperson Chip Partner said no involved staff members have tested positive for COVID-19 there so far. The couple and their baby were asked to quarantine pending testing results to protect the community and were discharged from the hospital. Following the incident, the University of Rochester Medicine Group, which includes several hospitals, including Strong, announced a total ban on visitors, with the limited exceptions required to undergo screening for the virus. Previously, the hospital relied on purely an honor system. The hospital group had already limited visitation 2 weeks ago, as did a number of other hospitals throughout the state and nation, I might add, and would ask visitors on arrival if they had any COVID-19 symptoms or any potential exposure to the virus. Now, a temperature check and screen for symptoms will be enforced. One support person for pregnant patients is still permitted, given they pass a twice-daily screening. They won't be allowed to leave the patient's room without the patient at any time. The UR, the Rochester Medicine Group, as well as Rochester Regional Health, also announced a new universal masking policy, where all providers, staff, and visitors in healthcare facilities will be required to wear masks. Earlier this month, several hospitals said they would ban spouses, birthing coaches, and other support people from delivery rooms as a COVID-19 safety measure. However, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo intervened with an executive order over the weekend that all hospitals must allow one support person who doesn't have a fever to be present at birth. Serious stuff again, ladies and gentlemen. Selfishness like this has been showed has more severe consequences these days. It can cost the lives of your loved ones. That melody is this week's Levity is Golden.
Thank you, Dave. And we are out of time. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us and sharing the hour with us. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.